Well, guys, we have been talking about this series called Check Yes or No, and we've been talking about relationships between guys and girls, and this topic is immensely important because as you get older and older, thoughts about members of the opposite gender and interactions with you know, guys' interactions with girls, girls' interactions with guys, they will increasingly dominate your thought life and your time and your energy and your focus, and you will go through seasons when all you will think about will be another person, and you will be obsessed with thinking about them. And as you grow older and older, that will come and go and get more intense and less intense and change. But from now on in your lives, it will always be something that marks your life. It's a consistent thing. It's this desire to be in some sort of a relationship or have some sort of an interaction or just to get a girl to notice you or to talk to you or to say hi or to get that guy to talk to you, to text you, to call you, or whatever it is. It becomes this huge, important part of your life, and it will not go away. And so it's something we've got to address, and we've got to go, hey, God, what? How do you want me to handle these feelings? You know, how do you want me to handle these relationships? What do you want me to do? I want to follow you and obey you. And the first week we talked about this, that God is for the intense emotions that guys feel for girls and girls feel for guys. God's for it. It's in his word. We read about it, how intense and how emotional and exciting they are. But God also puts boundaries on it. He says three times the same sentence, don't arouse or awaken love and romance until the time is right, until it desires. And there's boundaries on it for how we should interact with each other. It's like a fire. Remember we talked about there's a fire. You've got to have a fire pit around it. Or if you have a fire in your house, you don't want to build it in the middle of your living room. You want to have it in the fireplace where it belongs. Otherwise, it could be really destructive because it's so powerful. That's how these emotions are between guys and girls, is they're so powerful, if you don't handle them the right way, they could really be destructive in your life. So the first week we said, hey, God's for this thing, but he's got boundaries. And then last week we kind of said, hey, what are those boundaries? And the boundaries are basically this, is that you need to do everything you can in these relationships to guard your heart. And we talked about 10 ways you could really make your heart vulnerable, and there are things you need to avoid in order to protect and guard your heart. But the boundaries God puts forth are all ones that say, hey, I love you, I care about you as my child, and I want to protect your heart. And this morning, we're going to talk about one more thing. But before we do that, I'm going to do something that's extremely personal, all right? And I have kind of a secret that I've been keeping from you guys for the whole 6 years that I've worked here. Almost 6 years, not quite. But I've been keeping it from students, keeping it from staff. I just shared it with the staff on our team this week. And it's a secret that I'm not really proud of. I'm kind of embarrassed of. And I just want to ask you guys before I share this secret with you, that you would keep it in this room. I mean, you can tell your parents about it if you want, but don't get this secret and spread it around to everyone else, okay? Everybody cool with that? Yeah. Everybody understand? Okay? The secret is this, is that don't show it yet because I have a picture about the secret, but I have a picture from when I was in eighth grade of my first date that I ever went on, and it is a very embarrassing picture. So don't get the picture, put it on your Facebook, put it on MySpace, send it to all your friends around the world and say, look at this idiot. But this is a picture. I look like a moron in this picture. I don't look great. Well, I'll just show you. This is a picture from my first date. That's me on the right, not on the left. Yes, you can say aw if you want, but that's me, and that is Kylie McDowell, and that was when I was in eighth grade. And no, she's not a giant. I'm just that little, okay? A lot of people I showed the picture to this week on staff, I said, okay, I've been keeping the secret hidden. I've been keeping it this picture hidden secret so no one would ever see it. But I pulled it out, and I said, I've got to show it this week. It's important. And so I started showing it to the staff, and they said, how big is she? And I was like, she's not big. She's normal size. I was just really small. But that is, okay, that's in eighth grade, and that's the first date I ever went on. Now, leave that up there because I want everybody to be able to really soak it in. But there were girls, you know, before that I had crushes on, that I liked, that I wanted to ask out, that I wanted, you know, that I wanted to go with and all this stuff. But I never had the courage, like I never had the guts, I could never muster it up to ask a girl on an actual date until I was in eighth grade. And in eighth grade, you have a chance to do it. And it's at this dance that we're at. It's called the Sweetheart Dance. Okay. And so I asked Kylie to the Sweetheart Dance, and I looked up at her. I said, Kylie, would you go with me, sweetheart, dance? And she looked down at me and patted me on the head and said, well, sure, little fella. And and Kylie went with me to the sweetheart dance. And that at in that picture at that time, it was in February, when it was 13 years ago. I was 13 years old. Actually, that was more than 13 years ago. That was 15 years ago. 15 years ago, and I was, it was like 92? I was 13 years old when I went on my first date with Kylie McDowell. And that date started a new era of my life. It turned over a new leaf. Up until that point, I'd had thoughts, I'd had feelings, I'd had desires, but all of a sudden, in one night, when I asked a girl on a date and she said yes, and we went out and she put her arm through my arm, yeah, she's touching me, check it out, and she stood close to me, and I bought her dinner, and I opened the door for her, and we slow danced. Oh, yeah, we slow danced. But it was like the kind of, you know, we're as far apart as possible, barely touching fingertips on, and you keep your legs locked, and it helps you with the rhythmic thing. But that turned over a new leaf. That started a new phase, because all of a sudden, all the feelings and the thoughts and the desires and the hopes and the dreams and all that stuff, all of a sudden it became a reality. And it was like, now I'm interacting with girls, not just Kylie, but girls in general, on a whole new level. The game is up a level now. And now I'm going on dates. We're together. We're talking. It was cool. But it changed everything. And it went from not dating to dating. And it was like that. I was in this phase of the game for 13 years until 2 years ago when I was 26. So that's when I was 13. 2 years ago when I was 26, I got married. And when I got married, I switched from dating to marriage, which is a new phase of the game. And it's cool. It's better than dating. I've got a baby. It was great. And marriage is great because, you know, you live in the same house and you share stuff and she makes food and you do stuff, pay the bills, and it's fun. And you have babies. Marriage is really cool. But you guys, okay, you guys are not, I don't think anybody in here is married. Maybe some of the leaders are, but none of the students in here are married yet. So you're in one of two phases, right? You're in the pre-dating phase, you're in the David right before you went out with Kylie McDowell phase, or you're in the dating phase, you've gone on your first date, you've gone out with somebody for the first time, and you're in that one. But whichever one you're in, here's the thing I want you to think about this morning. Before you get to the next phase, the marriage phase, you've probably got about 13, 15 more years. You've got about 13 or 15 years where you're going to be in the pre-dating or dating phase. And that's a big chunk of your life. But that chunk is all headed towards a day when you're going to stand in a church with a guy or a girl, you know, if you're a guy with a girl or a girl with a guy, and there's going to be a pastor there, and there's going to be all your friends watching, and that day you're going to make a commitment to that other person, and you're going to enter the marriage phase. But until that day, you're in a phase before that. And you've got a long time to wait before you hit the marriage phase. Did you know this? I was having a talk with Mike Shelton. He's our senior high director this week. And he was telling me some stuff. He's been to seminary, and I haven't. So he knows a lot more about the Bible than I know. And I was asking him about, hey, tell me what the Bible has to say about dating. And Mike was saying, you know, the Bible really only has about one date on record in there. And it was right before, it was in Song of Solomon, like I talked to you about 2 weeks ago. And it was right before two people got married. But other than that, you really don't see that much dating in the Bible. It's there, but there's not a ton of it. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, back in the day, and you guys listen to this, in the Bible, back in the day, people would get married when they were like 13 or 14 or 15 years old. Right? Like they lived with their families, and then their families would set them up with someone in another family, and they'd get married and they'd like move in and live with their family for a while until they were old enough. But like they were entering the married phase at your age, or they were thinking about it at your age. So they wouldn't start dating or looking at who they would want to marry until they were ready to get married. but they were already ready when they were your age. But you guys, obviously, I don't think many people your age are getting married. So what we talked about is this, and this is true. You guys right now, I want to sympathize with you guys because you're in a really tough spot. You're in a really hard spot because all the feelings and emotions and desires for relationship are there in your heart and you feel them. Or right now you're saying, ooh, but pretty soon they'll be there. And you'll be saying, ooh, and they'll be there. But you guys, living in America in 2007, you've got to wait 13 years with those feelings inside of you and figure out, what do I do for 13 years with all these emotions and feelings? Whereas if you lived 2,000 years ago, you'd be like, I know what to do with them. I'm going to go find me a lady and get me married. That would be weird, though. So you guys have to wait. So you've got to wait. And we talked last week about 10 things you could do to guard and protect your heart from getting all those feelings and those emotions ripped apart. But this week I want to talk to you about one more thing that I think will really help you from that point to the point where I am now where you get married. For the next 13 years, the one thing we're going to talk about this morning is going to help you deal with the relationships with the opposite gender. Let me show you a passage of scripture. This is from Genesis chapter 2. This is when God created the heavens and the earth and all the animals, and he created Adam. And here's what God did. God caused the man, Adam, to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. He must have been sleeping pretty deep because that would hurt. I'd probably wake up. I'd be like, God, what are you doing? Why? Ah! Blood! Ah! I mean, I don't know if Adam did that, if it was a nightmare or God hit him over the head with a stick, or if God had an anesthesiologist, like an angel came in, he's like, hang on, let me hook him up. I don't know what happened there, but sometimes we just skim right over that, and God was doing major surgery while Adam was asleep. Now, he must have lost some blood. I mean, he wakes up, he's going, what? But God takes this rib, and this is even cooler than doing surgery while a guy's asleep. God takes just a rib, like, so imagine you're at, you know, Spring Creek Barbecue and you're eating ribs, and God's like, let me see that. And God takes it, and he makes a woman out of it. That'd be cool. Eating ribs, God's like, hang on a second. Woman! But God takes his rib, and he makes a woman. And look at this. Look with me right in the middle here. From the rib he'd taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. God brings her to Adam. And then the man goes, I don't know why he said this. I would have been like, what's that? But he said, this is now bone of my bones. He must have known this came out of my rib. There's a spot there. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. So he gives a little speech. You know, he's like, this is bone of my bone. And then here's what God says. And this is clutch right here. He says, for this reason, because I made woman from the man, they're two of a kind here. For this reason, a man's going to leave his father and mother someday and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. They'll come back together. And here's why I read this scripture, and here's what I want to tell you guys this morning. God made you guys, and God made you girls for a reason, right? So that someday, the reason why you guys long for each other right now, you go, I like that guy, he's so cute, and all this stuff. The reason why you have a desire for a member of the opposite sex, guys, the reason why you desire girls and girls, the reason why you desire guys is because God made you for each other to come back together. But here's the thing. Look at this. This is God's plan. God's plan is for you guys to come back together, but his plan is for the man to leave his father and mother and be united to his girlfriend? No. To be united to his wife. And so here's the key. Here's the secret. God made you girls to be with guys. And guys, he made you to be with girls. But God's plan is for you guys to be united and connected in marriage. God's plan was never for us to date for 13 years. And I really think as a people, we've kind of messed it up. And the way our society is working and the way our culture is working, it's not possible for you guys to get married until you're way older. So you've got to wait around for God's plan to be fulfilled. You can date in that meantime, or you can wait in that meantime. But the truth is that God's plan for guys and girls, his original plan, his ultimate plan, the way he's made you guys, is for marriage. God did not make us for dating. He didn't make us for dating. That's why I said earlier, you're in a tough spot. Because you're like, okay, everyone else is dating. I have this desire. But the only way to kind of fulfill it is by dating. But really the way it's meant to be fulfilled is in marriage. And so here's the last check yes or no I want to give you guys this morning is this. Is when you're dating, I want you to think about at least, or if you're dating. I'm fine if some of you guys choose not to date for a long time until you're ready to get married. In fact, I think that would be the wise choice. I think that'd be the smartest decision if you said, you know what, there's no point in dating because I'm not ready to get married because that's God's plan. And then when you start thinking, okay, I might be ready to get married, now I'm going to start dating. And I realize that's tough to wait, but that's what I'd recommend. That's what I'm going to encourage my son to do. I'm not going to force any of you guys to do it. I'm not going to force him to do it, but that's what I think would be the wisest thing. But if you're dating or while you're thinking about dating, I want you to keep the end in mind. I want you to start now, 11, 12, 13, 14, Emily-year-olds, 14-year-olds. I want you to start thinking about marriage today. When you're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, start thinking about marriage. That's a weird thing to tell junior hires. Hey, I want you guys to think about marriage. That'd be a good idea. Here's why I want you to think about it. Go back one slide. This is really important. Every interaction, do you have that quote, every interaction? Every interaction you have with someone else in relationships will affect your future marriage. This is why I want you to think about it. Every time you go on a date with someone, every time, you know, you go out with someone, every interaction you have with someone else in relationships is going to affect your future marriage. It is. It's going to change the way you relate. You're going to give a piece of yourself to that person. You're going to take a piece from them. To illustrate this, I want to do an exercise that I did when I was your age, and it was really weird. It was really weird, but it was really a cool deal. I want you guys all to close your eyes and just kind of put your heads down. And we're going to kind of imagine something here together. Maybe you've never thought about marriage before, but I want you to think about marriage with your eyes closed. I want you to think about your wedding day when you're standing there in the church. And guys, you're going to have a girl on your left, and girls, you're going to have a guy on your right. And I want you just in your imagination to turn your head to the side and see who's standing there. What do you imagine they look like? What do you imagine their name is? How tall are they? What color is their hair? What do they smell like? That's weird. Keep your eyes closed and imagine this, though. I had a friend, Joanna, that would do this in college, and she called the guy in her imagination her outline. She didn't know exactly what he looked like, but she had an outline for who she was going to marry someday. So imagine your outline if you can't figure out what they look like. Now I want you to imagine them. Keep your eyes closed. Imagine them right now, today. They're your age. Maybe a little younger, maybe a little older. But imagine what they look like younger. Where are they today? Do they live in Texas today? Are they from another state? Are they in California? Are they in Missouri? Where are they today? Where do you imagine? Just make it up in your mind. And what are they doing this morning? Did they get up and eat breakfast? And did they go to church? Maybe you hope that they're going to church this morning. Maybe you don't know. Are they sitting around watching TV? Are they on the internet? Instant messaging their friends? Are they downloading music? Are they singing in a church? Are they going out to lunch with their parents? What are they doing right now? And what are they going to do the rest of the day? Just imagine that for a second. This is the person you're going to marry someday. And they're out there. Right now, they're just in your imagination. But there's a person that is out there today that someday is going to be your husband or your wife. Imagine what they're doing. Now imagine this. Guys, the girl you're imagining, imagine that she has a boyfriend right now. And imagine that they go out on a date tonight. Imagine that they're alone. Imagine they start kissing. I don't like imagining that. Girls, think about that guy. Imagine him. He's dating someone. He's going out with someone. Imagine him putting the moves on her. They're alone. No one's around. How do you want that person to be treated? You can open your eyes. Guys, I did that when I was your age, and it staggered me. I knew that there was a girl out there that I was going to be married to someday, and I knew that there were other guys that would want a piece of her. Piece of her heart, a piece of her purity, and I imagined how I wanted her treated. Here's what I would allow, all right? I would allow someone that was dating my future wife to be respectful, to treat her with purity, and to grow in friendship with her. That's what I would allow. I would allow that. Here's what I wouldn't allow. I would want them to avoid getting romantic with my future wife. I would want them to avoid, you know, physical touch with my future. Do not touch her at all, is what I would say. And I would want them to avoid breaking her heart. I would, because I care about her and I love her so much. Even before I met her, I loved the woman that I would marry someday, right? And you guys all kind of know that feeling. Like, man, I'm going to love the person. I already kind of love them. And I would want people to avoid getting too romantic with my future wife. I'd want guys to avoid physically touching her in any way. And I'd want them to avoid giving her heartache. What I'd want them to do is, if you wanted to date her, that's fine, but treat her with respect. Treat her with the utmost of purity. And develop a friendship with her. I want her to have good friends. That's great. But stay away from these things. And here's what I want to tell you. Check yes or no. Will you keep marriage in mind? In your dating relationships, you should treat, guys, the girls that you date, you should treat them like they are someone else's future wife, because they probably are. A girl you're dating in 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, you're probably not going to end up marrying her. It happens like one out of a million times. So you need to treat them like someone else's wife. You need to treat them with respect. You need to treat them with purity. You can grow in friendship, but that's it. Back off the romance stuff while you're in this waiting period, okay? Back off the physical touch stuff. Holding hands, cuddling, kissing, Frenching. Yeah, I said it. Back up off that stuff. Don't get so intensely devoted to each other that you break each other's hearts, because guess what? Not only is she, guys, someone else's future wife, you are some lovely lady's future husband. And how does she want you to be treated? Girls, you need to require the kind of treatment that you want your future husband to be giving to other people. You need to require that you're treated with respect and purity and friendship. Protect your heart against romance, physical touch, and heartache. Guard it. Guard it. Check yes or no. Will you keep marriage on your mind? It's a crazy thing, but 2,000 years ago, kids your age weren't just thinking about marriage, they were getting married. And someday you will too. And so in all your relationships, going out, dating, going to dances, all that stuff, you need to keep marriage in mind. You need to preserve yourself for what God has planned for you. And you need to preserve other people around you for what God has planned with them. Will you keep marriage on your mind? Let me pray. Well, dear God, I thank you for your word, and it's so clear from the way you created us from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, that you made us man and woman. And you made us to leave our father and mother and become united back together. That you made woman from man so that we could become one flesh again. And I thank you for how incredible that experience is. And I just pray for these students that they're in a place right now in their life that they have to wait. And I pray that you would help them to guard and protect their hearts until the day you want to bring them together and make them one with the one you have planned for them already. Would you help them to keep marriage in mind? Would you help them to trust your plan, even when it's hard, and to guard and protect their hearts and the hearts of those that they interact with? And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.